Good morning, Pleasant Grove family. Looks like we've picked a pretty good morning to stay in and throw another log on the fire and cozy up to the fire this morning. I read from Revelation chapter 6. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the vine and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer, until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed, just as they had been. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich and mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day is their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" Praise God for those words. Now a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for another opportunity to search your word for your truth. We thank you that you have provided this for us. We thank you that you've also given us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to help us understand your word. And we just pray that your truth will be heard this morning, and that you will own these words and give me the words to say and open hearts and minds to receive them. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome back to our study of the book of Revelation. To get her sea legs back again, let's remember that in chapter 4, God is presented in all his glory with angels bowing down before him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He's surrounded by thunder and lightning, things that keep John from getting too close to the throne. Around that throne are these glorious beings, 24 thrones with 24 elders, 4 living creatures, all serving as a backdrop for chapter 5. In chapter 5, John tells us, "The one who sits on the throne has a scroll in his right hand, the hand of power, sealed with 7 seals. The scroll is filled with God's purposes for both judgment and redemption. Who can approach such a God who holds the scroll containing his purposes and split the seals to bring all this to pass? As John waits, no one is found worthy to open the scroll to bring about God's purposes. So John weeps. There is no hope. Maybe injustice and sin will prevail, which is a contradiction to all John knows about God. As he weeps, one of the elders taps him on the shoulder and says, "Do not weep. See, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals." John saw a lamb, also the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, both the slaughtered lamb and the Lion King, one with God, from the center of the throne take the scroll from him who sits on the throne. And all of heaven breaks out in a chorus of praise. These 2 chapters, 4 and 5, set the foundation for the rest of the book of Revelation. As we come to chapter 6, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, splits the first seal, thus brings the acting out of what's in the scroll: God's purposes of judgment and blessing, and what some refer to as the Great Tribulation. The makeup of the seals are in 2 parts. The first part contains the 4 seals, the first 4 seals, and they're grouped together as judgments: military destruction, civil disorder, bloodshed, social breakdown, and death. It is not a pretty picture. Seals 5 and 6 are separate and longer. And in chapter 7, there is an interlude until coming to the 7th seal at the beginning of chapter 8. So the first seal in verses 1 and 2 is the white horse and rider. Now, the white horse and rider are understood differently by different commentators. Some feel that the white horse and rider represent the Antichrist. Some, the gospel going forward. Some Bible scholars say that the white horse and rider represent Christ coming in triumph at the end of the age. They will say in chapter 19 of Revelation, there is mention of another white horse. In verse 11, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True." While we might agree that chapter 19 is referring to Christ, We must remember that in Scripture it is possible for one symbol to function in different ways, being defined by its context. For example, the lion can be the Lion of Judah or Christ, or the lion can refer to the devil going about his as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The context tells us what its meaning is. The context here in chapter 6 has a white horse and a series of four horses, and the other three have to do with destruction, war, and judgment, which hardly seems to be a picture of Christ coming in victory at the end of the age. Besides that, Jesus in chapter 6 is already identified as the Lamb who takes the scroll and opens the seals. The white horse here symbolizes conquest, the military conquest. The red horse, bloodshed. The black horse, scarcity, famine, and poverty. And the pale horse is the color of death. These horses are sent to release disasters on the earth. The bow and the rider with the rider on the white horse was a symbol of military power, and here poses the threat of war with no mention of arrows. And the rider was given a crown or right to serve as a conqueror bent on conquest. Verses 3 and 4 tells us of the red horse. The Lamb opened the second seal and a red horse came out. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. Notice all these past tenses. For example, its rider was given, or to him was given a sword. This means that the sovereign Lord is in control and is sanctioning all this activity. The right hand of God held all the purposes for blessings and judgments. Now, as the seals are broken, his purposes are unfolding. This power given was probably civil unrest to take away peace from the earth, very similar to what's described in Zechariah chapter 14. And possibly John's readers in the first century might have thought of the struggles of the Roman Empire before AD 68 to AD 70, when there were four different emperors on the throne in that short period of time, with much strife and bloodshed. Verses 5 and 6 bring us to the black horse and rider. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Normally, scales are seen as a symbol of justice. However, here, these scales represent weight to weigh out, or used to weigh out money or the quantities of food. 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages. Well, 2 pounds of wheat was what a strong man could eat in one day, but a day's wages were supposed to be enough to feed his entire family. In other words, these are hard times where money will not be enough to eat, a picture of famine. Now the command, do not damage the oil and the wine, could describe the continual availability of some provisions, even in times of economic crisis. Olive oil and wine were not permanently affected because they are produced from plants that have deep roots in the ground, which will reproduce. Because the command is to preserve these plants, this could indicate God was withholding the greater destruction described in later chapters. For example, here in verse 8, they were given power over a fourth of the earth. In the second round of judgments, in chapter 8, with the sound of the trumpets, one-third of the world is under judgment. In chapter 18, with the bowls, there is complete and final destruction. Hardship and suffering increase, but God is still in control. Verses 7 and 8 speak of the pale horse. Its rider is named Death, and Hades was following close behind. Pestilence and plagues result in death. Hades followed closely behind the pale horse. In the New Testament, Hades is inhabited by those who died in rebellion against God. An example of that is found over in Revelation 20, starting in verse 13. John says, "The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up their dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. In a land experiencing war and famine, wild beasts probably run rampant in search of food. Wild beasts, along with war, famine, and plague, would be the agents of death and Hades to kill one-fourth of the earth. We might think to ourselves, this is far removed from anything we have experienced in our society down through the years. However, it makes you think and ponder the Spanish flu of 1918 that killed 675,000 people, or the bubonic plague in the 14th century Europe that killed approximately 25 million people, or 40% of Europe's population. Verse 9 through 11 tells us of the fifth seal, and here we have a change of the scene. John sees an altar, which probably points to either the altar of incense that stood in front of the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem Temple, or the altar of sacrifice in the temple court. Under the altar, John sees martyrs killed for their testimony to Christ. Martyrs who, when called upon to renounce Jesus Christ or worship a human ruler or false god, refused to do so. Though martyred, they are seen to be very much alive. This could be an illustration of the eternal security of God's people, held safe because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? It seems that they were asking to defend and uphold his own just character. And throughout Scripture, God has promised perfect justice and the vindication of his people. And this is a consistent theme in the Bible. An example of this is found in 1 Thessalonians, where John writes, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. Now, the answer to the martyr's question, how long, was wait a little while. To be united with Christ involves the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. However, the day is coming when we will be overjoyed as we join him in glory. He waits until either they repent or their accumulating guilt receives his timely and certain judgment. In verse 11, the martyrs each receive white robes as evidence of their victory, their purity, and righteousness before the judge of all the earth. His people are declared righteous because he is righteous. The white robes are the result of the cleansing of the cross and represent the purity of the redeemed. Verses 12 through 14 speak of the sixth seal. The sixth seal brings John and his readers to the threshold to the end of the age. The intensity and magnitude of the signs increase so much that the universe itself shakes. An example of that was found in Joel chapter 2, verse 10, where the prophet says, "Before them the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine." Now, whether this scene is understood figuratively or literally, it surely points to major catastrophes and abnormal distress for those on earth. In verses 15 through 17, we see the great day of wrath. John listed every category of human society, even the privileged will be included. Mentioned are the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich and the mighty. They are mentioned so that we will get the idea that everyone is included. No one will be separated from this judgment. What they fear most will be the face of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. They are willing to be crushed under the mountains as they rush into the caves or shelters. Sadly, the people John described were in panic and resorted to any refuge but repentance and a plea for salvation from the Lamb of God. You see, the only way we stand in the presence of a holy and wrathful God is by receiving the righteousness of Christ. Let me leave you this morning with some truths that God is in control. Number one, we need to remember that this is my Father's world. Never think for a moment that when things seem to be falling apart, that God has lost control. Second, this world stands under God's judgment. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 22, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to his Son. God has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. 3. There are no accidents or mistakes in God's judgments. 4. The final judgment is non-negotiable and irreversible. There are no appeals. And fifthly, our only hope, and that is enough, is the Lamb of God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning for another opportunity to study your word. Thank you for keeping us safe this morning. Be with those on the highways, those who are on our prayer lists. We are so thankful that you answer our prayers and give us an opportunity to seek your face personally at your throne of grace. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.